join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches us about the dangers of wanting just a little bit more, how to recognize the tactics of the devil, and how to overcome them.
Turn with me, if you would, this morning, Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. I titled this sermon, Just a Little Bit More. Just a Little Bit More. And we know that God at this point had created man and it placed him in the Garden of Eden. And then at this point, the serpent is having a dialogue with Eve and about ready to tempt her in making decisions that are not going to be beneficial to anyone. And we deal with it today. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And just a little bit more. That's what the devil was trying to insinuate here, I think, through these verses, that she could have more. She didn't have it all, and there's more to have. But I want to make a statement before we get moving into this, that once you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have it all. You have God in you. Got up this morning, got ready to come to church. I didn't realize it's going to be this cold now. 8 degrees outside, and I stepped outside, and the wind was blowing. I'm thinking, man, this is just not my day. But before we did leave the house, Karen was there. Well, I'm standing back in the corner. I stand a little bit taller than Karen does. You know that. She's kind of a little short. It's got a little comical thing going on there this morning. And I will tell on her. And tell on myself, too, because she was standing by the door. She had her coat on, and she was trying to get a scarf. And this scarf was hanging up on this rack. And there was a couple hats hanging there with the rack, and I don't know, there's a few other things hanging there. And, man, I could have made it real easy. I could have walked over there and just rested up there and just handed it down to her, but it was kind of funny. And I thought, I'm going to enjoy this. And she's reaching up there to get that scarf. And whenever she reaches up as high as she could reach, then she puts up on her tiptoes to reach a little bit higher. And, I mean, she was almost there. And this hat fell and landed on top of her head. And at that moment, I thought, I could go over there and get that down for her. But then I thought, no, I'm just going to wait and see how this is all going to play out. And so she's still fighting to get that off there. And the hat, she hit this other hat, and it falls down, and it hits her on the head. And then the scarf is laid over two little things that, like little prongs sticking out. And finally, she gets it over top of the one, and then falls down in between those. Now she has to fight and get it over top of the other one, and she finally gets that scarf off from there. And then she turned around and looked at me. But I'm thinking, I could have helped you, but I was having too much fun watching this. I think that's what the devil does to us in life. To make, if you just had just a little bit more, things would be a whole lot easier. I remember whenever Karen and I first got married, the job I worked, and this was in 1972, and some of you made a lot more money than I did, but in 1972, I made $2 an hour. And I've shared this with you in the past, but I made $2 an hour. And I used to say, if I just made just a little bit more, life would be so much easier. Just a little bit more, and things would be okay. And then things got progressively better. You know, we made a little bit more money. And I would still have that thought in my head, if I just made a little bit more, things would be just a little bit easier. And then I like that song we were singing there, talked about whenever Christ came into my life or comes into our life, the change that takes place so quick and so fast that it's unreal. The night I came to know Christ as my Savior, I remember I'm sitting there, and I always tell this, and I'll even be telling it in eternity. Now, I got up to walk down the aisle. I did not know what I was getting into. And before I got to the front, God had changed. He did a complete work in my life, changed my whole heart and my whole perspective on life. And then I realized that all these little bit more that the devil was telling me that I needed to make life better was not the answer, but the true answer was God, because He was all there were. And He would fill that void and that emptiness that we have and satisfy that thirsting after something that's just a little bit more. And He is the little bit more. And so Karen reminded me this morning of reaching out to get a little bit more. You want a little bit more this morning? God is the answer.
He's the answer.
But here in the Garden of Eden, we have the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. I don't know about you, but I really believe that there was a serpent there. I know some would disagree with that, but I think there was a serpent in the garden. And I think the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And if you'll study Revelation actually mentions the serpent twice. And the serpent, he referred to the devil as Lucifer or whatever. And this is the individual that is there in the garden with Eve to deceive her and help her make a decision to implant within her way of thinking that there's a little bit more than God. A little bit more than God. So here it is, the serpent. How many of you like snakes? Anybody? But like snakes? No. Well, you got one. You got a couple. I remember as a little boy, we did some wild things in West Virginia. We did some crazy things back there. We used to, as kids, we would catch snakes, copperheads, rattlesnakes, or water moccasins. You know those? Yeah, we had fun getting these things. We didn't realize. We did. We knew that they were bad. We knew that they bit you, they would hurt you, and that type of stuff. My brother above me, Eugene's his name. He actually got bit by a copperhead, and my mom had to deal with that for a while. We were a little bit concerned that he might not make it, but we used to play with these snakes. If you ever notice snakes, they're pretty. Man, they have some awesome colors in them. I mean, you ever seen the black racer and that type of beautiful, shiny colors that they have. Now, if it's true in Genesis that they were cursed and caused to crawl up on their belly, I wonder what they might have looked like if they were upright with all these different types of colors that they had with on the beauty of them. But there was something there that attracted Eve to this serpent. And she goes over and she begins to have this dialogue. He asked the question, let me read down again. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So the first thing he does is he questions whether it was a sin or not to eat of this tree. That was a question he posed to her. Notice what he says in verse 1, if you will. And I think he does it real insubtly. You know, that's the devil. He makes everything sound nice. He makes everything sound good. But notice what he does in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now she's going to correct him with this little dialogue. So what he does to her is he says, did God say that you can't eat from any of the trees? Hey. So I can almost picture it, and I know what the wording here is, but I can almost picture it like this, you know, talking to a snake. Yeah, I know you laugh, but I've talked to a few snakes in my life. And I know you have too. You some mean people. He kind of looked at her and said something like this. Hey, is it true what I heard? Is it really true that God said that you can't eat from any of these trees? Yeah. And there he has her at that moment. Because she begins to have a little bit of a dialogue with the devil. How many of you ever try to have a dialogue with the devil? I'm going to tell you right now, and I've argued with him a few times, you don't win. Whenever you do it in your own power or your own resources, you only do it under the way that God instructs us to do it. And Jesus, if he had a dialogue with the devil, remember what he did? All he would do is quote scripture, and he quoted it within context. Didn't add to it, didn't take away, just quoted it the way it was and said, and left it at that. I'm not going to do it. And that's the way it was. You and I, when we have a dialogue with the devil as to whether this is sin or whether this isn't sin, oh, should we do this or should we not do it? The answer would be is simply, what does God's word say? And leave it at that. That determines whether it's sin or not. I personally don't like having dialogue with the devil. I like that part in the scripture where it says, rebuke the devil and he what? He flees from you. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord, and he will flee from you. Let me give you some things that the devil will always do whenever he tries to come to you and me or anyone else and tries to persuade us to do things. Number one, he will undermine the authority of God, and he'll undermine God's word or the goodness of God. And in reality, what he does, if you go down to verse 4, and he as he is undermining God's authority and God's goodness, notice what verse 4 said. And it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So you know what he just did? He looked up and said, God's a liar, and you can't trust him. He's not good, and you can't believe in him. And so what he's actually saying to the woman is you can be your own authority, and you can make your own decision. And if you will be your own authority in your own life and make your own decision, ignore God and understand that God is not good and that God deceive you, and that there are better things, and there is just a little bit more, and you can make your own decision, you'll be better off. And folks, I tell you right now, if you say that 6,000 years later, I'd like to ask that question Ronald Reagan asked Carter, are you better off now than you were then? The world no better today than it was then. I like that verse there where it says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Meaning that when we step away from God and we begin to make decisions for ourselves, what it does is we begin to get further and further from God. And as we get further from God, our hearts become more evil as a result of it. And we begin to get worse and worse and worse. The condition becomes worse. Notice it said men, birds, four-footed things, and then creeping things all the way down to the low of low. And folks, isn't that true? Isn't it true? So things have changed drastically over the years, just in my lifetime. And it's all a result of the devil saying there's just a little bit more. And look at all the things that are taking place in our schools. Look at all the things that are taking place in society. And we see that our children are being, I'll use the word mutilated in a lot of ways to change their different sexes and whatever. And folks, listen, we do this with this ideal that things will be just a little bit better if they were to do it this way. And that's the devil, as far as I'm concerned, whispering, saying, you're making your own decisions, and you know well more than God. And what God says is not true, and he's a liar. So what the devil does is he questions truth, and he questions righteousness. So I asked you a question. If you go out there in the world, and you talk to individuals out there, and you begin to talk about truth, you ever try to figure out what truth is out there? I get confused if you get away from God's word at what truth is, because if whatever anyone thinks is true can be true. And then maybe if you study the Old Testament and you deal with the judges, remember whenever it came to the end of the book of Judges, remember what the last message of those books was that mankind did at that time? It says everyone did what he thought was right in his own eyes. Listen, that's where we're at today. Everything that you think is right. And everything that you think is true is true. And everything that you can't think is righteousness. And God must be wrong. I heard a guy, are you with me? I watched this guy the other day on TV, and they were talking about some of the things that this preacher, again, he was a street preacher, and I don't know where you stand on that, but I wasn't called to do that. And I think you have to have a special calling to go do that, right? But he was there on the street preaching, and he said something from God's word, and it's in God's word, and one guy standing there beside him hollering and screaming, saying, that's not in God's word, that's not in God's word, that's no word in the Bible. And it was. And the guy was reading it from the Bible. And the guy would say, that's not in there. That's not in there. I remember I met a guy one time. Man, he was as mad as he could be. And he came over where I was at. He had just talked to a guy who was a Jehovah's Witness. And I don't agree with their philosophy. I think they're wrong. But this guy had just talked to this guy who was a Jehovah's Witness. He came over. He was real mad. And he looked at me and he said, that's not in the Bible. And I said, what's not in the Bible? He said, Jehovah is not in the Bible. He said, that guy said God's name was Jehovah, that it's in the word of God. And I thought about it for a second. I didn't know whether I wanted to get in that conversation or not. And I looked at him, I said, well, I don't agree with him. I said, but the word Jehovah is in the Bible. God's name is Jehovah. And he looked at me and said, "That's not in the Bible." Okay. Read it. Let's see. He looked at Eve and he questioned whether it was a sin or not to eat of this tree. This, folks, we question God's word all the time, whether it's a sin or not to do what God says not to do. And if God says not to do something, another, it is sin. And what happens when we sin? It leads us into destruction, harm, or whatever. I remember a guy came to me one time, and I'm not going to tell you what he did or what he was talking about, but he told me once he was doing something, and he felt that just because he was doing it just a little bit, it was okay. And I said, "Well, God's word says you shouldn't do it." He said, "But it's okay if it doesn't affect nobody else and it just affects me. It won't affect anybody else, and it's okay for me to do it." And I said, and this is what I said to him. I said, "Let's take a minute and just stop just for a second. And let me ask you a question." I said, "Now, just instead of arguing about it and trying to rationalize it, just tell me, what do you think deep down? Is it right or wrong to do a little bit of it or not?" And finally he said, "No," he said, "I know it's wrong." I said, "Good. You know what he told me? I'm going to do it anyhow." I said, "Okay." I said, "Here's the thing." I said, "In about a year from now, you and I have the same conversation." And I said, "At that time, you will tell me that it's okay to do it." About a year later, for whatever reason, he and I got into a conversation. We had the dialogue about this. And then finally, we got out of that conversation of what he was doing. And finally, I asked him, I said, "What do you think? Is it okay to do it or is it not okay to do it?" He said, "Oh, it's all right." And let me tell you, about 2 years later, what he was doing destroyed his family. And all he had to do, the devil said, is just a little bit, and it's okay. Won't hurt you. Won't hurt no one. I get almost mad at the devil saying, "Hey, is that really true? Did God really say that?" And of course, he questions whether it was a sin to do that. Folks, people question it all the time today, don't they? Where's the sin to do this? Where's the sin to do that? You know what I think? And this is getting away from a lot of stuff, and we might get on to him for this one, but I sometimes think we, as Christians, sometimes we want to do just enough to keep us from getting in trouble, not realizing that just that little bit is going to get us in a lot of trouble. Simply because God says not. How much can I do and how much can I get away with before it affects me? Not even a little bit if God says leave it alone. Amen? You agree with me? All right. The second thing he does here, he denies that there was any danger in it. Again, in verse 4, it says, "And the serpent said to her, you know, look, I know God might have said that, but notice what, you shall not surely die. There's no danger. There's no danger." So, I'm telling you right now, people today are getting caught up in so much stuff, and there's so much danger in it that it is unreal. And we're seeing so many people commit suicide. And I don't care what age group you want to go into, there's a lot of suicidal individuals or a lot of people who are committing suicide simply because they listened to the devil and they thought just a little bit more will make me happy. And as a result of it, it brought them to a point of despair and they take their own life. I don't know of anybody that's a drug addict and are there and did it intentionally. And that's what the devil does, just a little bit. And you can put that in any area, I think, in life, just a little bit. And it won't hurt you. You shall not surely die. There's nothing dangerous about it. Let me tell you this morning, and I know you already know this. Sin is a dangerous thing. Whenever we go against God's word and what God says to be sin, and we choose to make it right in our life or in or individuals in the world decide to make it right, it is dangerous. Sin is a dangerous thing. Just a little bit. A little more. Now, it wasn't dangerous this morning for Karen to reach up for that hat, but I could have helped her out. If you want a little bit of help in life, a little bit more, let me see where you look. You look to Jesus. You look to God's word. That's where the power's at. That's what makes a difference in the person's life. Amen. Prayer. And then I'll bring you to the third point, and we'll bring it to a close. I'm assuming, now, and I don't have to throw this in there, I'm assuming it's probably about 12 o'clock right now. That clock is still about 10 minutes off.
Right.
So 10 till, I'm assuming it's 12, and I'm going to give you a couple more minutes, all right, of this, and that is this. The third point is, he pointed down, well, he didn't point, but he promised them the advantage by doing this. Eve, if you do this, you're going to know. Notice where verse 5 says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, says, now look, you are going to be an advantage for you to do this. Says, whenever you do this, whenever you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. There's an advantage to just a little bit more, if you listen to me. I'll say to you this morning, there's not an advantage to a little bit more, especially whenever you and I know who Jesus is. That's all there is. And if you want an advantage in life, and I know that you know, and I know that you do, and that is read more. Do more. Know God to a greater degree. Notice what the Bible says. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. He looked at her and says, for God does know. Otherwise, he said, can you imagine this? The God who made everything, the God that they walked with in the Garden of Eden, the God that they had, fellowship with, that they... The devil was actually saying, I think, and so in so many words, he was saying to her, for God does know that in the day you eat there, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Otherwise, God is a little afraid of you. He doesn't want you to know this, because he knows that whenever you know this, then you're going to know what he knows and you'll be like him. And he's afraid of that. So he's just holding back. He doesn't want you to do it. That's his only reason. That's not the reason why. There are so many principles in God's word that if we apply these to our lives, we benefit. Be holy. Now listen, and sin not. Why? There's a benefit. Why? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because there's a benefit to these things. There's no more than God. Amen. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, thank you that we have all there is in you. Thank you, Father, for your son Jesus who died on the cross. Thank you for your spirit that indwells us, convicts us, and leads us in a way that we understand who you are. Help us, Father, never to fall short of that, never to question you, never to question your word. Never allow the devil to have his foothold into our lives. Then, Father, we pray for those around us that you would give us boldness to share with them the truth. And the truth is that you could set them free from this way of thinking just a little bit more. And they can come to know you and know all there is. This morning, Father, we thank you for loving us and caring And again, thank you for being here. We love you. We praise you. And Father, as we close with this song of invitation, if there's any decision needs to be made, this would be the day that they'd be made, and they'd be made for you. We thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.